study in the book of 2 Corinthians, and we've observed that in this very final portion of this epistle, Paul is unfortunately kind of defending his apostleship because it was under attack by false apostles. Almost be like a parent trying to defend the way they parent the family because other teenagers who are false parents are telling the kids how they ought to be raised, that type of stuff. This type of attack goes on constantly. And so we're seeing it here. And we saw that in the 10th chapter, Paul explained the authority of the apostleship that he was given. He really was authorized by God to be an apostle. And in his authority was one where Christ gave him the example and Christ chose the weapons that they would be spiritual and Christ determined the purpose of that authority. And we saw that in the 10th chapter. And then in the 11th chapter, we saw that Paul, he was real jealous of the fact that he was an apostle. It meant a lot to him. It was many are called, but few are chosen. And, you know, the call to salvation goes out to many. How many? I don't know how many billions the Lord makes. The many are called. And some people accept the call and they get saved. And then within that, then the Lord within there chooses a few for a particular office to serve in. And he chose Paul. And just as he chose the other apostles in Matthew chapter 10. And he's very jealous of that apostleship. And he was showing in his jealousy in the 11th chapter that he was jealous for the churches that God allowed him to plant as an apostle. And he was jealous for their fidelity, their purity. He wanted them to stay pure to the Lord. He was jealous for their needs, that whatever it took to help this church to grow up. He was jealous for their spiritual discernment. Anyone that's a teaching or training, you want to see the person you're training to begin to grow in knowledge. He was jealous when they got abused. He didn't like when the church was abused and these false apostles would come in and abuse the church and make merchandise of them. And then you saw as he ended that chapter, he was even jealous in the fact that he had suffered for the work of the Lord. I mean, he had a zeal over the fact, so much zeal in his service that he suffered. And those were actually some of the things that he had in his memory bank. Not like he was trying to forget them. He actually remembered those sufferings. They were terms of endearment to him. That's curious. You know, that's a curious thing. The Christian way is so different, contrary to the world's ways. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion, God wrote to one of the prophets. I think it was Amos. Woe unto them that are at ease. Well, the world says, hip, hip, hooray if you're at ease. Right? I mean, that's what the world's just looking for. I just want to be at ease. And God says, well, you know, soldier, you can't always be at ease. There's times to get in the battle. And Paul was zealous for the time he had been in spiritual battles and had been wounded and suffered in the midst of a spiritual battle. He looked back on that with a zeal, a jealous zeal for it. We come to the 12th chapter today. He's talked about his authority. He's talked about his jealousy. In this chapter, the key verse would be verse 12, would kind of sum the title of this chapter up. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. This chapter could be titled The Signs of Paul's Apostleship. The signs of Paul's apostleship. He's going to look at a number of things as we go through this chapter. The first six verses will focus on the spiritual revelations, visions, and visitations that he had in his life. That's one of the true signs of a true apostle. Folks, this stuff is written. This stuff is written for your edification, for your understanding, for your knowledge, for your learning. And it hurts me so much to see Christians that are ignorant of the scriptures. And I think it's a willful ignorance. This was all written here so we would know how God really, truly dealt with a true apostle versus the garbage that we hear today. And, chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, whether on the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. If of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. And he's going to transfer from spiritual to the physical and talk about the thorn in his flesh. But he opens this up in the beginning. And if we would just stop and just read the first sentence of the first verse. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. What does that mean? Okay. Doubtless, that means without a doubt. It is not expedient. It is not expedient. It will not advance. It will not promote. It will not hasten your growth or your development or your knowledge or your nearness to God. Without a doubt, it is not expedient for me to glory in visions and revelations of the Lord. That's what that verse just said. Now I'm going to take you through a lot of scripture, and I am going to show you that man, that a man named Paul had so many visitations, visions, revelations of God and of Christ and of the Spirit in his life, and he did. And they're real, and they're in the book. And I'm going to show you them in a few minutes. And yet, Paul said to that church, without a doubt, it is not profitable, it is not helpful, it is not, it will not promote your growth, it will not advance you as a Christian, it is not expedient for me to talk about them with you. Police. This is the signs of Paul, a true apostle. And he says, if I could sit around with you, I wouldn't waste my time telling you of every personal encounter I had with God. He had them. What would you do with us, Paul? I would open the scriptures and reveal Jesus Christ to you out of the scriptures. That's what I would do with you. That would be the best thing I could do for you. But Paul, yeah, it really happened to me. Yes, Jesus Christ came down and stood right before me and talked to me. Yes, yes, and he didn't to you. And he didn't to you. And he didn't to you. And he didn't to any one of us in this building or anyone on this planet today who's alive and breathing right now. But he did to Paul. And Paul says, I wouldn't waste my breath talking to you about that stuff. How do you like that? How do you like that? I guess he wouldn't make it on Trinity Broadcasting Network. You know, it's a funny thing because in doing the research for this particular chapter, I went and I Googled, are there apostles today? And guess who I'm in correspondence with right now? An apostle. Now look, you and I know he's not an apostle because we actually have the Word of God, the King James Holy Bible, and believe it. I don't know if he thinks he is, and he's just deceived, or he's a deceiver and he knows he isn't, but he knows you're so dumb he can part you with your money if he says he is. So I'm in correspondence with this guy, and I watched on Google, had a whole bunch of hits on apostles on the YouTube that I could watch, and I'm watching these guys, and this one guy is up there and he's talking about how he had a vision of hell. And all these people going off into hell. And just Paul and Jan are just rapt with attention, just sitting there watching. I'm thinking, anything he's saying is found in a Bible. What's so impressive about what he's saying? And then he said a lot of things that weren't in a Bible. Finally, at one point, I guess Paul Crouch got the courage to ask the man, when did you give your heart to Jesus? Very courageous thing to do on the show. And the apostle began to talk about, well, it's like this. I had tuberculosis when I was young, and I was coughing my lungs up and spitting up all over. And the doctor said, you're going to die. And then I had a vision of Jesus Christ. And in the vision, there was a coffin right there with my name on it. And Jesus says, you're going in that coffin. He says, you got one of two choices. You can go in that coffin, or you can go out and preach for me. And I said to him, I don't want to preach for you, but I don't want to die. And Jesus said, well, make the choice. And he said, okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. Jesus, I'll preach for you if you heal my tuberculosis. And Jesus said, it's a deal. And at that moment, miraculously, my lungs were all better and the doctors were amazed. And you should have heard the crowd. It was a double-decker audience. There were people on the first floor and people in a balcony and the cameras were going back and forth and they were cheering and everybody was excited. Oh, the great visitation, the revelation that he had. First off, is that a biblical salvation testimony you just heard? Did Jesus come to heal people? Or did he come to call sinners to repentance?
Amen.
Did he come so that Christ could die for our sins on that cross, according to the Scriptures, be buried and raised again the third day, according to the Scriptures, so that he could call sinners to come to him and lay their sin at his feet and admit that they're sinners? That's what I know in the Bible. That's how I got saved. So this guy gives an unscriptural testimony and they're applauding. What were they excited about? A revelation. Now Paul had real revelations. Let's take a look. And Paul says it isn't worth my time talking to you about them. But let's take a look about a man that really had visits from God. Now if you've ever taken just before you get to your Bible, I'll just show you. You ever read your Bible and if you have one of those like red letter editions of the Bible? Okay. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, a lot of red letters. And then all of a sudden, like there's a lot of black letters. And there's not a lot of words of red for a long period of time. Have you ever studied the words of red after the four Gospels? It's an interesting study. Of course, you know where it begins in Acts chapter 1, and it's the ascension of Jesus Christ. And he's just finishing up here before he gets ready to go back to heaven. And he tells his apostles the Great Commission. Verse 7, he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And while he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And there's the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. His ministry is finished, and he's now given the oracles of God and committed it to these men to whom he will continue to commit these oracles through the work of the Holy Ghost. And what is their job? To take those oracles and be witnesses unto him. And to talk about what he did for sinners. And you read the preaching of Peter, repent. You read the preaching of Paul, turn. You've been in ignorant superstition too long. Come to Jesus Christ. The law of Moses can't save you, only Jesus. And you read all this preaching all through there. Peter saw the Lord. He doesn't waste his time talking about it. Peter finishes his second epistle. I'd rather give you this Bible than have you be up on the Mount of Transfiguration with me. Because that's just a momentary one-time experience and the word of the Lord endureth forever. So let's see how real apostles are. So now after this, all of a sudden, there's lots of black, lots of black, lots of black, lots of black. And all of a sudden, you get to the ninth chapter. You get to the ninth chapter of Acts. And Saul of Tarsus, a man who was profiting in the Jews' religion by persecuting the church of God. That's interesting. There's religion on one side and the church of Jesus Christ on the other side. There it is, folks. Religion is not of God. Religion is not of Jesus Christ. You're either in Christ or you're in some type of false religion. Or if you're real smart, get out of the religion and just get out in the world. I'd rather be in the world than in religion. But I'd rather be in Christ than the other two put together.
Amen.
And that's where I would recommend you be also. But there's the Jewish religion persecuting the church of God, and Saul is breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord. And he's going to head to Damascus so he can go lock more people up in prison. Verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? What was he persecuting? He was persecuting the disciples of the Lord in verse 1. That's part of the Lord's body. You touch the disciples of the Lord, you're touching the Lord personally. Why persecutest thou me? He said, who art thou, Lord? Good question. And the voice and the Lord said, I am Jesus. Amen. First question in a person's life. Who's the Lord? He's Jesus Christ. He's not Buddha. He's not Krishna. He's not anybody else. He's not Muhammad. He's not Allah. He's Jesus Christ. Good question. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, that's Paul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? There you go. Who are you? I'm Jesus. Okay, I get saved. What do you want me to do next? There's the two best questions to ask. That's why are you on earth? To figure out the answer to those two questions. Who is the Lord and what would the Lord have you to do? You figure that out, you win the prize when you meet him. You don't figure that out, better enjoy your life. I just got a phone call yesterday. One of the guys that I was close to for a number of years. In the old Halcyon days, before medicine, when I was a musician, one of the most popular groups I ever worked in, Junction West was the name of it. And the lead singer called me and got me to be in that group. And I spent time with him and knew him for a lot of years. And when I got saved, I went back to him a few times, tried to get him to come around to the Lord, and he died yesterday. I got a phone call. He's my age. And Harry died yesterday. Harry died yesterday. And I just was silent. What can I say? I mean, I tried a few times to win him to the Lord. Thankfully, the other guys in the group got saved. The bass player got saved. The drummer got saved. The guitarist got saved. And the other lead singer got saved. And I got saved. And we've all witnessed to him. And I've talked to the other lead singer a few months back. He said, I'm witnessing to him. I think I got him close. I said, amen. Keep on him, Joey. And but I don't know. He knows now. You know what he knows? Now he knows what truth is. And now he knows what error and lies are. And the world's full of errors and lies. I only pray that he's with the Lord. That's what it's all about. Who art thou, Lord? Amen. That's the step into eternity. What wilt thou have me to do? That's the step into real communion and discipleship. That's a good question. So here it is. He's on his way to Damascus, and a light comes from heaven, and here comes a voice, and here's the appearance of the Lord himself. Now, in the 20th century, that would have finished Paul. He would need to do another thing the rest of his life, but just make the circuit. Just make the circuit. Talk about that vision. He might even get his own half-hour show on a big broadcasting network. Write a book. Sell a few million. My visit from the Lord. Documented, photos, everything. I mean, just imagine that. Christians would eat it like slop. It's true. Sad. This is a real visitation of God. This is a real revelation. You know, Paul? I mean, he gives it as a testimony of salvation twice. But you don't read it in any one of the doctrinal epistles. You don't read him going on about this in Romans. He talks about Christ. He talks about Christ. He talks about Christ. So here he goes. He visits Paul. The next time you see words are read, the same chapter, it's Ananias. And it's all about Paul. And there's a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, behold, I'm here, Lord. Arise. Go to the street which is called Straight, inquire in the house of Judas for one Saul of Tarsus, for he prayeth. He hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias. Now watch what God does also. Not only did he appear to Paul, now that Paul is blind and groping around, God appears to him again in a vision. That's what it just said there. You see that? He hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive sight. Where'd that vision come from? God? So now here comes Paul. He's got a second vision in a matter of days. And Ananias, of course, he goes and he argues a little bit. Oh, this man's done evil to the saints at Jerusalem. You don't know what you're doing, Lord. You're calling an evil, rough man. Isn't it funny? The Lord saves some men with real moxie. You know? Not the kind of guy on the couch in the Geico commercial. He doesn't save those guys. Namby-pamby land. He saves them. They make a call to salvation, but he rarely chooses them to a fight. Like we talked about in the first class, you got to have some fight in you if you want to be a disciple of the Lord. You got no fight in you, the Lord will save you. He'll save you, and you can live in the United States of Christendom and not be in the army. But men with fight get chosen to be in the battle. And Paul had some fight in him. And God said, Ananias, that's a guy I can use. The guy that ran up to me the other day on Wednesday to spit in my face when I was preaching, when that guy walked away, you know, he was angry and hollering the whole while. I just watched him, you know. And I thought, boy, if that guy gets saved, man, he's going to be a pistol for God. I mean, hundreds of people walked by me and just ignored me. I mean, that guy, when he's got something on his mind, he wants to let it be known. He ever gets Christ in his mind, he's going to go out and let people know. I prayed for that guy. I said, that guy's going to... Ananias argues a little bit. The Lord says in verse 15, words are read, "Go thy way, watch it, for he is a chosen vessel." Many are called, few are chosen. "To bear my name before the Gentiles," talk about my name, not about the vision, talk about my name and what I did. Amen. Verse 16, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." When you get in this chapter here, you're going to see the visitations and the revelations are not what Paul focuses on in the 12th chapter. He's going to focus on the thorn in his flesh and the suffering. He was jealous for his sufferings in the last chapter. He was let down in a basket. All the sufferings he had gone through, those were the things he remembered, not the visitations. Who wants to hear about that on TV or read books about that? I just want to show you how contrary the Bible is to... This is sad, I hate to say it. Yeah, how contrary the Bible is to the world. I love to say that. How contrary the Bible is to contemporary modern Christianity. To Christianity today. There's a good magazine to burn. That'll start a nice fire in the winter if you're cold. Pitiful. Look, and this is just Bible, folks. I'm just trying to show you Bible. I'll show you how many things you must suffer for me. The next time you got words are read, it's a very short one. It's the 11th chapter of Acts. It's the 16th verse, 11th chapter. And it's just Peter remembering. It wasn't actually a vision, just a remembrance. "Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost." He's just remembering what Jesus had told him back in Matthew and what Jesus had told him in the beginning of Acts. "You'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost and you'll be, you know, witnesses unto me." So it's just a words of remembrance. You get to the 18th chapter and you'll see words are read again. Paul is in Corinth for the first time. This is the church he's writing to in his second epistle. And when he's in there, there's a lot of oppression. People opposing the work that he's doing. And he's reasoning in the synagogues and he's reasoning on the streets and people are getting saved. And then it says in verse 9, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision." Here's a real visitation of Jesus Christ to a man. These are true incidences we're reading here. And Paul doesn't focus on them in his epistles. But here they are written for us historically in Acts. "Be not afraid, but speak. Hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." And he continued there 1 year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. You see that? I mean, what did he focus on? Not telling them the revelation. I mean, this just happened in Corinth. He could have run to Corinth and said, Jesus appeared to me last night. You know, get the news releases, the press releases, get a lot of people here. We can tell all about the vision from heaven to earth. No, he just continued teaching the Word of God. What does the child of God need? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God that the man of God may be perfect. Scripture is what God uses to perfect you, not stories of revelations, visitations, and dreams. Even if a man were experiencing them today, and he's not. This is all past apostolic stuff. Okay, next time we get words are read, Acts chapter 20. Paul is preaching at Ephesus. And as he finishes, this is a great sermon. If you want to go back in our archives and get Acts chapter 20, I got about 2 hours of teaching on this sermon alone. It's a fantastic sermon. But you read through this sermon, and he just says in verse 32, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver, gold, or apparel. There's the difference between a true apostle and a false apostle, false teacher. A true apostle will just commend you to God and to the word of His grace. And a false apostle or false teacher will covet your silver, gold, and your apparel. And if you will just send some seed money to this ministry right here, when in the Bible is seed ever money? Or money ever seed? Next time they ask for seed, you load up an envelope full of tracts and send it to them. You send some real seed to them. Maybe they'll get saved. And as he goes through here, Paul says, verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now it's curious, I don't find that in any of the four Gospels. So Jesus must have appeared to him and told him, Paul, this is something I want you to teach. So Paul says, I'm going to teach it then. You give me something to say, Lord. You say something to me, I'm going to say it to others. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. The next time you'll see words are read in the 22nd chapter, it's merely Paul rehearsing his salvation testimony. Not another vision, just rehearsing about that vision back in chapter 9. But later on in that 22nd chapter, after the crowd breaks up, and Paul has a little time, verse 17, it came to pass, when I was to come to Jerusalem, while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and now he tells about a vision, and I saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And of course, he argued, Lord, Lord, they know that I've imprisoned. I mean, Paul really wanted the Jews to get saved. But Jesus told him in verse 22, he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And so Paul, his salvation, direct revelation of God, his where to go to get his eyes opened, a vision of Ananias given by God to him. We see in Corinth, he's given words, stay here and teach for a year and a half because I have Gentiles here I'm saving. You see in the 20th chapter to Ephesus, I have some fresh words for you to give them. He does that. You see here in the later in the 22nd chapter, Paul's in Jerusalem and he gets a visit. And the visit in Jerusalem is, Paul, I haven't called you to be the apostle to the Jews. Your call is to the Gentiles. Peter is to the Jews. No, no, wait, Lord, you got it backwards. Peter is the Pope, the Roman Catholic Church. No, 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 you got it backwards. Peter is to the Jews. You're to the Gentiles. You can be the first Pope if you want. Well, we're just having fun. But no, Paul didn't want to be the first Pope, and he never was the first Pope. But if I was trying to make a Catholic Church out of Rome, I would make Paul that guy because he's going to be told in a few verses that's where he's told to go. Look at chapter 23. Another visitation on the very next day. 23 verse 11. And in the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer. Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Boom. So I can be the first pope. No, no, we don't like that office, but you go there and preach. Amen. There is no such office as pope. Amen. That's an attempt to rob God's glory, to be a king and a priest. There's one king and one priest. His name is Jesus Christ. So he gets more direction there. And then finally you'll see some words are read in the 26th chapter. And all it is him again telling us about the time he got saved. Three times he tells us about the time he got saved. And that's why I always encourage you. Your salvation testimony is something you should be talking about. You just shouldn't be out there talking the Romans Road with people. Now, look, the Romans Road is good and it's Bible. But you got a testimony. It's personal. It's real. It's transformational. It's made you a new creature.
Amen.
You should be able to talk about that. You ought to talk about it. Paul three times did it. He's a good example. Be ye followers of me as I am followers of Christ. And so three times you see this. Now, after this, when you go through Paul's epistles, Romans, Galatians, Paul, your teacher, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians. Any words are read? No. The pastoral epistles, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, the general epistles, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, none of them. No words are read. No words are read. Two more times words are read. Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 11. The chapter where Paul is delivering the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And he says in verse 23, I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Not remembrance of your first communion, but in remembrance of the Lord. It's about the Lord. After the same manner he took the cup, and when he had supped, he said, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, no longer the blood of bulls and goats, which cannot cleanse a heart. They can only sanctify the flesh so that you can come in and do a service at a tabernacle. This will cleanse your heart and your conscience. The blood of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. This do ye, as oft as ye drink this, you're doing it in remembrance of me, for as often as ye eat this bread, and as often as ye drink this cup, however often you do it, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. It's not telling you to do it often, but it's saying whenever you do it, you remember it's a ceremony, an ordinance of remembrance of everything he did. Now these two verses there, Paul either got these from someone who was there when Jesus said it, or maybe the Lord took him on a vision and let him view the Last Supper. One of the two. I don't know which. Watch night service, we'll talk about time travel of the Spirit. I think the Lord's got some real incredible precious moments in store for us, folks. And there's examples in the Scriptures. And it's, I don't know. But I know here in this particular one, this involves Paul at least taking the words of Jesus and bringing them back to the church. And the last time you'll see words are read are in the very chapter we're in, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Until we get to Revelation and Jesus talks to John. My point in the doctrinal epistles, you see words are read in 1 Corinthians 11, and it just tells us, please, when you're doing the Lord's table, remember it's all about Him. Remember it's all about Him. You're remembering Him. And now it here is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, And when he's got the thorn in the flesh and he prays and the Lord gives him something that's help for all of us. My grace, 2 Corinthians 12:9, is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now we'll cover that next week. But what I wanted you to see is that when it comes to the Apostle Paul, his salvation was a visitation and a revelation. His where to go and get his eyes cleaned was a vision of Ananias given by God. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Show you some other things. The signs of a true apostle versus these frauds that are running around today. I put a conundrum forth to this one apostle in a very short email. I'm waiting for him to respond. If he's an apostle, he should be able to answer it like that. I showed it to your husband yesterday at the house. It's very simple. He should have no problem answering it if he's a real apostle. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. He got the message. My job is Gentiles, it's not Jews. If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, how that, watch it, by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, skip down to verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. What's he saying? He's saying, look at this gospel I'm preaching, this dispensation of grace, of the grace of God, this dispensation that's different what I preach than what Peter preached in Acts chapter 2, you know, repent ye Jewish men, be baptized in water to receive the Holy Ghost. That's all Jewish. It's got nothing to do with us. We don't need to be baptized in water to receive the Holy Ghost. That was Jewish. They had to do that. That was their dispensation. It was a different gospel. Now it's a new gospel going forth. They've rejected that gospel, Acts 7. We've now gone forth with the new one. This thing was given to me, he says, by revelation, verse 3. Verse 5, in other ages it was not made known to the sons of men, but now it is revealed by the Spirit, spiritual revelation, given to the holy apostles of the New Testament and the prophets of the New Testament, which foundation is laid, as he just said a few verses before in that same book, Ephesians 2, 20, were built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone himself. So we understand Christ, and then he gave it to these men, and now they've gone forth, but it was all done by revelation. So how did this happen? Back up to the book of, is it Galatians? Galatians chapter 1. Verse 1. This is a true apostle. Written, this, what you're reading here is written by God, folks. This is the Word of God.
Amen.
Paul isn't penning these things on his own. He's being moved by the Holy Ghost. Paul, an apostle. Not of men. 11 guys didn't get together in a room and draw lots to make me an apostle. That's a slap in the face of what happened in Acts chapter 1 when Peter got ahead of the Holy Ghost, okay? Mattathias or whatever that guy's name isn't the 12th apostle. Even apostles can't choose apostles. Who chooses apostles? Not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Who's the 12th apostle of the Lamb? Paul. There it is. Even Peter and the boys drawing lots and flipping coins or rolling dice can't call apostles. Peter was ahead of God. In the second chapter, he got it right. In the first chapter, he popped up and decided to talk. That's what we like about Peter. He is impetuous. Impetuosity, if there is such a word, can be a blessing if it's sanctified. But when it's in its own spirit, it doesn't work all that well. So verse 11. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me, it's not after man. I didn't learn it by following men. Verse 12, for neither received I it by man, but I was taught it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ personally came to Paul. Not only did he save Paul, not only did he direct Paul where to get his eyes washed out, not only, I mean, he decided, I'm going to teach you personally because you're an apostle. And you're a little bit born out of time. You should have been with me for those 3.5 years. But since you missed it, I'm going to teach you personally. And he goes on and explains, verse 15, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. Why did he do this? That I might preach him among the heathen. My whole purpose is to preach him. Not to talk about my revelations. Not to talk about my visitations. But to preach him. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I to Jerusalem. Folks, if I got saved, you know where I go to Jerusalem? James is there. John is there. Peter. Now you tell me you wouldn't. Your natural man would do the same thing. You'd run off to where the great apostles were that spent their life with Jesus Christ, that walked with him for 3 years. Not Paul. The Spirit of God says, don't go there. I don't want you getting confused by them. I want to take you aside, do this alone. I didn't go to Jerusalem, which were apostles before me. I went into Arabia common and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem. So for 3 years, Jesus Christ taught this man. Now, notice, he taught him in two places. He taught him in Arabia, he taught him in Damascus. What's in Arabia, brother? Mount Sinai. He took him to the Mount of God, and he probably did to him at the Mount of God what he did to the men on the road to Emmaus, and what he did to his disciples, and what he did in Luke 24:44, how as he expounded all things in the Scriptures, in the Psalms, and the Prophets, and the writings which were about him. He probably went through the Old Testament and said, Paul, I know you've been taught by Gamaliel, most of it's junk. I know you have the best seminary training that was available to modern man, it's junk. Let me teach you these things right now. So right here at the foot of God, at the foot of the Mount of God, let me teach you what the Old Testament really is about. Okay, got your Old Testament? Now we're going to do survey of the New Testament. Come on to Damascus, Syria, because that's where we're going to write the Syrian epistles. And up there in Damascus, Syria, he began to reveal to him the New Testament. Because they were first called Christians in Antioch, Syria, and the book you're holding comes from the works that came out of Syria, the Textus Receptus. And so now we're looking at this man, his instruction. The confirming of his call in Acts 22. You're to the Gentiles, you're going to Rome. The direction of his ministry. You remember in the 16th chapter of Acts, go back there. I just want to show you a real apostle. And without a doubt, Paul says, it's not worth my time telling you all about this stuff. Now you and I are ferreting it out by going through the Bible and looking at the historical book of Acts. And Paul says to the church, I didn't waste a lot of time with you on that stuff. Instead, I tried to teach you the Word of God. Acts chapter 16. Paul's in a missionary journey. His second journey. He wants to go out and do some stuff. He had just met a guy named Timothy in Derbe and Lystra. He's teaching this kid. He's going through Galatia. And verse 6. When they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the Word in Asia. Somehow God appeared to him and said, don't go there. Don't go there. I wish sometimes he would do that with us. but he stopped. Verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. They couldn't go to that region. Now later on, Peter gets sent to that region because there's a lot of Jews there. So what happens to him? Verse 9. And a vision appears in the night. And there stood a man in Macedonia. Come over to Macedonia. Paul, you're coming to Europe. The gospel's going westward. I'm going to move you toward Rome, little by little. I'm going to have the other apostles, they're going to go back east where the dispersed Jews are. I'm sending you to the west to the Gentiles. East will separate from west, but they'll meet west in Christ. That's what I'm doing. So I got to get you going on your journey. There's another vision. The direction of his ministry later on in the 18th chapter. We saw how he wasn't sure if he should stay in Corinth, and we read this before. You stay here. In the 23rd chapter, we saw this. All through his ministry, a real apostle had real visitations from God. And yet, Paul says, doubtless, without a doubt, it is not expedient for me to glory in visions and visitations and revelations. And he's going to go on and he's going to give him one last little thing that's actually going to have a good doctrinal teaching in there for all of us. We'll look at it next week. We're running out of time. But the point he's trying to make is, folks, it's about the Word with a capital W has expressed in the Word with a little W. And the ministry of the Word of God is what a real apostle did. He ministered the Word of God. It's nice that he had some power and signs. We'll see those in the next couple of weeks. But even that was only to minister the Word of God and to confirm this is the new Word of God because the Bible's not finished. And to show that God's in this, what I'm preaching, this new dispensation of grace, this is not something I made up. This was given me by Jesus Christ for you. Spiritual revelations, they're not going to help you grow. Desire ye the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Are you reading your Bible? Are you, blessed is he that readeth? Blessed are they that heareth? You coming under the hearing of the Word of God? Forget this television garbage. These, oh, wow. I was so impressed. I mean, as he was going through the malarkey he was going through, I could find the stuff. That's in Ezekiel chapter 3. I'm just listening to the stuff that he's going through. That's in Matthew chapter 7. What do I need some pretend vision? Let me tell you what these guys do. The Bible marks them out in the book of 1 Kings. And we're done. 1 Kings chapter 13. Verse 1. Behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. A man of God is directed by the word of God. Verse 2. And he cried against the altar. He preached. He preached the word of God. The man of God is committed the word of God, and he's to cry aloud and spare not, open his voice. Open his mouth, cry, speak like a trumpet. Just let that thing cry out. And he does it. He does exactly what he's supposed to do. It was a real blessing. He preached what God told him to preach. Verse 11, and there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel. And his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. And the words which he had spoken unto the king. They told them to the father. And the father said, which way went he? And what happens, long story short, this old prophet chased this young prophet down. Verse 15, and he said unto him, come home and eat bread with me. And the young prophet said in verse 16, I may not return with thee, nor go with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For it was said unto me, by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. Verse 18. He, the old prophet, said unto him, the young prophet, oh, I'm a prophet also, as thou art. I've been on Trinity Broadcasting Network. And an angel spake unto me, and Paul and Jan were real excited, and you can see it on YouTube if you want, at least my testimony of it. An angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. Watch what God puts there. Five little key words. But he lied unto him. He's a liar. He's a liar. The Bible wrote that there for you. You don't need revelations from men, you know, with very expensive suits and very expensive jewelry that drive around in limousines and have multiple dwelling places. And they have big homes, some of these guys. Some of these guys knock down lots of money. Some of these ministries are 10 million plus a year. They're liars. Paul's a true apostle that had all these experiences I just showed you, and he didn't waste his time talking about them. All he did was, "Lovest thou me, Paul? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed them the word of the Lord." That's a true apostle. Next week we'll look at what Paul has, because there's some good doctrinal teaching in there. Let's pray. Father, thank you for helping us to see that it is not expedient for us to waste our time chasing around visions and signs and revelations. But Lord, it is very profitable for us to exercise ourselves unto godliness and to study to show ourselves approved unto Thee. Workmen, Lord, and we'll never be ashamed before Thee. Help us, Lord, to read and to study and then just to go out and tell people about our wonderful Savior, in whose name we pray, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.